we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. In Olympic news, the 2004 Olympic champion in the marathon, Stefano Baldini of Italy, has returned to Athens to run the course where he had his greatest triumph. 15 years ago, Baldini won the Olympic gold medal after running the challenging Athens course in 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 55 seconds. But Baldini and other elite athletes are well aware that one opponent they'll never beat is Father Time. Age eventually catches up to all of us. On Sunday, the now 48-year-old Baldini clocked 2 hours, 57 minutes, and 7 seconds in the Athens Marathon. Stefano still deserves a Sunny Side of Sports salute. That time was good enough for 98th overall. The energetic Andy Edwards had a chance to chat with Stefano Baldini after he crossed the finish line in Athens. Here's Andy.
Stefano, what are your feelings 15 years after you became Olympic champion on this Athens course? You've run it again. Just give us your thoughts.
The emotion is the same, I think. My body is different, you know, 15 years are enough to change a lot. I came many times in Athens after 2004, but never to be at the start line.
Did you have those, well, obviously, this time you were running, maybe not for pleasure, but with others. 15 years ago, it was the greatest race of your life. So at the start line, what was going through your mind and your body, your stomach?
I was a little scared at the start line because 42 kilometers now for me are a long distance. I run no more than 30 during my training. And I was focused on the second part of the race. About watching the clock, but to run the second half relaxed, enjoying the course, enjoying the last 10 kilometers. You know, my last 10 in 2004 were absolutely marvelous. 28:30 in the last 10 was the key to win the gold, and I really enjoyed the last 10 and the last two in particular.
Let's just talk briefly about this year of marathon running, you, an Olympic champion, how fascinating has it been for you? We've had Eliud Kipchoge breaking 2 hours in a special event, and then, of course, women's world record, 4-minute improvement. I mean, what do you think about the possibility in, shall we say, a traditional marathon race, a man will break 2 hours? Will that come soon?
Eliud, of course, he can do it, because in Vienna he finished with a lot of power, a lot of energy. I know that is a different thing to run the same time in London or in Berlin or in Rotterdam or in Dubai, whatever you want. But I think that he understand in Vienna that the wall is possible. 2 hours in those conditions for me are same level as the world record in Berlin, but he looks very powerful last October, so probably he break a mental barrier, and with this mental barrier break he can try. I don't know when, because next year there will be the Olympics. So he is 35 years old, but he is the only man for me able to break the barrier.
One more question, and you talk about Olympics. You've run the Olympic course again. I'm just wondering, your body, 15 years older, how will you recover now, today, compared to when you were crowned Olympic champion?
Today I will take a lunch with my family. They are all here. There is my wife and I have two daughters and my three children. I don't know where they're. My three children are here. The older one is a sprinter. She's a 400 meters runner. So I want to take a light lunch with them.
Enjoy the day. Thank you, Stefano.
You're welcome.
That's Stefano Baldini, Italy's 2004 Olympic champion in the men's marathon. And Stefano was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in Athens, Greece.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sunny.
Nnamdi, 2019 is winding down, but we still have several big world title fights coming up. Why don't we touch on a few of them? November 23rd in Las Vegas, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder puts his title belt on the line against Luis Ortiz from Cuba. This is a rematch, Nnamdi. Tell our VOA boxing fans about the first fight between these two.
Well, son, in the first fight, Deontay Wilder was out in the seventh round. Ortiz had him in trouble. And what saved Deontay Wilder in that fight was the fact that a referee stepped in. Without the referee stepped in, Deontay was on what we call jello legs. That night, he looked beatable. And so fight fans were not happy with the outcome of that fight. And they felt that there's still unfinished business between Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz of Cuba.
Do you think in terms of unfinished business, it'll be more serious business on the part of Deontay Wilder?
This rematch will be an explosive knockout because Deontay Wilder wants to make a statement. In the process of trying to make a statement, he can get knocked out himself because he has not been really chinned. When we say chinned, means he's not been tapped on the chin to know if he has a glass chin. And with a dangerous Cuban, that could happen, but I don't see that happening because the Cuban is slower and older. Expect Deontay Wilder to drop that bomb squad on him, and he should be able to take him out in less than seven rounds. But this is boxing. Anything can happen, Sonny.
Nnamdi, if Wilder does take out Ortiz, would that put a Wilder-Tyson Fury rematch on the cards for early in 2020?
Well, they're talking about February 22, 2020. But that depends on what Tyson Fury wants to do. Because if Tyson Fury is making all this money in wrestling and now he's talking about going to UFC and MMA, come on, Sonny. Deontay may have to wait for the winner of Andy Ruiz against AJ. Tyson Fury, in his last wrestling match in Saudi Arabia, made $12 million for a scripted match. Wrestling. Compare that to $4 million he made in boxing in Las Vegas, where he got busted up and ended up in a hospital with 40 stitches, Donnie. So if you look at that, wrestling with all the entertainment, and we know what's going to happen before the fight is over, and he goes to the bank with $12 million. And you want him to get slapped around the ring or beat up for 12 rounds, get busted up for $4 million. He's a very smart guy. The Gypsy King knows where the bread is.
So you think the Gypsy King might actually stick with the MMA and professional wrestling?
He has been threatening to do that, and we're watching him very closely. And there's a good chance he may just sit to hell with boxing I'm going with MMA. Right now, he's already started training for MMA. So don't be surprised if he walks away from boxing. Right now, Sonny, boxing purists are very mad at Tyson Fury. But they don't understand the business of boxing. Tyson Fury is more popular than Deontay Wilder today because of all the eyeballs he brings from wrestling. So we can laugh as much as we want or hate him as much as we want. He is banking. He's building eyeballs. The rematch with Deontay Wilder will be bigger than the first one because of Tyson Fury's out there promoting. He's out there talking all this jive with boxing and wrestling, going to Saudi Arabia. So give it to Tyson Fury. He knows what to do. He is a good promoter.
Saudi Arabia will also be the venue for a world title fight on December 7th, Namdi, a rematch between Andy Ruiz Jr. and Anthony Joshua. And I understand both fighters have lost a few pounds ahead of the rematch.
Sonny, both fighters are going through what we call dramatic body transformation. When you go through dramatic body transformation, there's a very good chance you will leave your power behind. So for the first fight, we saw all those knockdowns and big bombs dropping. For this rematch, we may end up seeing 12 boring rounds because these guys have lost weight. Andy Ruiz talking about coming in at 260 pounds, whereas his first fight, he came in at 268. AJ is going to come in lower. So we may just see a decision because when you drop that bomb with less weight, it's not going to take any man out.
Namdi, you questioned AJ's fitness in their first fight. Do you think this move by AJ to drop the pounds so he can go longer?
Well, it cuts both ways, you know. It will allow him to be mobile because I said in this rematch, he must be mobile. He cannot just stand there and take the shots, you know. On the other hand, if he drops all this weight, the power is not going to be there to knock out Andy Ruiz. Same thing with Andy Ruiz. Andy Ruiz coming in light. If he gets hit clean, he will go down. So anything can happen. Right now, Anthony Joshua is training with Derek Chisora, which is giving him good sparring, you know, in Sheffield. He's focused right now. The Anthony Joshua we will see in Saudi Arabia will be different from Anthony Joshua we saw at the Madison Square Garden June 1. So all eyes on the ball, comes in light, keeps Andy Ruiz outside with the jabs, fights behind the jab, run the combination with a tight defense. He may walk away with a decision. If he walks away with a decision and don't push for the knockout, with the fans will still accept the victory.
Well, Namdi, it sounds like you don't think we're going to see a knockout on December 7th.
I don't think so. With both guys, knowing that both guys have the power to take out each other, and they've lost all this weight, they would just be happy to just jab and hold and run and grab and all that stuff. The sensation like Madison Square Garden will not be there. But if somebody gets caught in the first round with an uppercut, you're out.
Mm.
You'll be counted out. You'll be counted out, Sonny. This is a heavyweight, bro. When they drop the bomb, they drop the bomb, bro.
I might have to put you on the spot about who you're picking, Namdi.
Sonny, you know, homeboy is homeboy, man. And he's made some few changes. And I just hope he will fight a very smart fight. He does not need to push for the knockout. He does not need to take Andy Ruiz out. Just box, jab, hold, run, you know, get a decision. And then we'll get ready for the Deontay Wilder showdown. So I will always stand with homeboy. And I hope he's learned his lesson. We hope the first one was a bad day in the office in New York City.
And speaking of New York City, Namdi, that's the venue on December 14th for two world champion fighters. Terence Crawford will be defending his WBO welterweight title. And Richard Comey, the pride of Ghana, will make the second defense of his IBF lightweight title. Let's begin with Crawford. Namdi, undefeated. And he's going up against a Lithuanian nicknamed the Mean Machine, Kavijauskas. I hope I pronounced his name right. What can you tell us about the Mean Machine?
Nobody knows the Mean Machine, Sonny. We don't care about the Mean Machine. We need to see Terence Crawford fight Errol Spence, Sean Porter, Danny Garcia, These are elites in the welterweight division fighting the so-called guy from Lithuania. Don't move the needle at all. Fight fans wants to see Terence Crawford go against the big boys in the welterweight division. And until that happens, his legacy will just be, just another welterweight. But it's the politics of boxing that stops this from happening, because Terence Crawford is with top-ranked Bob Arum. All the elite welterweights are with Al Haymon and Premier Boxing Championship. Until both guys can sit down and break bread, that's when we're going to see Terence Crawford fight all these elite welterweights. But making title defense against people we don't know from Europe, that don't cut it, Sonny.
You talked about legacy, Namdi, Ghanaian world champion Richard Comey trying to establish his legacy. He'll take on Honduran-American fighter Teofimo Lopez. Richard Comey recently stopped by our VOA headquarters here in Washington, and he chatted with my VOA colleague, Peter Clote. I really enjoyed their interview, Namdi. Let's listen to Comey's comments about whether he goes for the knockout when he's in the ring.
I can box, I can move, I can do a whole lot of it. So, I mean, training with Andre Rizzi, Gary Stark, and Terrence has made me a better boxer. And ever since I started training with them, all my fights under them has been a knockout.
Do people train for knockouts? Because some people say these are knockout artists.
I never go into any fight. Even when I was in Ghana, I tried to knock anybody out. I just go there, listen to my corner, do what I have to do. When I see there's a chance, I take it. And then God gave me victory. And also God gave me the bonus by knocking them out.
Namdi, Richard Comey really sounds like a smart fighter.
Sonny, this is the smartest boxer out of the motherland, the smartest boxer out of Africa. You hear him speak. That was a great interview with Peter Clote. He knows the game is in front of him. He knows he has to hold on to the belt. It's a great fight for him. And he knows if he wins this fight against Teofimo Lopez by taking Teofimo Lopez out, the big money mega fight is with Lomachenko. And I've said it before, Richard Comey can beat Lomachenko, even stop Lomachenko. Do this focused, do this hungry. He knows not to press for the knockout. He knows when just to box and win a decision and walk away. This is the best fighter we have from Africa today, Sonny, pound for pound.
If Richard Comey beats Teofimo Lopez, Namdi, are we likely to see him fight Lomachenko in 2020?
The fight fans demand it. The fight fans want to see it. Television has the money ready waiting. Yours truly will be ringside at Madison Square Garden. My first time back in New York in years. Expect boy from Africa to do a very, very big number on Teofimo Lopez. And we wait for the big mega fight with Lomachenko in 2020.
Mexico's biggest boxing star, Saul Canelo Alvarez, recently captured the light heavyweight title. He knocked out Sergey Crusher Kovalev. Your thoughts on that fight, Namdi?
Before that knockout, Kovalev was in the fight. Even in the cards, people thought Kovalev was winning because he had Canelo off balance completely. But Canelo was very patient, you know. Canelo was timing Kovalev. And when he came in the 11th round and took him out, we were all scared for Kovalev. But fight fans believe that Kovalev didn't really do much. He just came there to pick up the $12 million guaranteed. He's a tired old man. That's what they called Kovalev that night.
Are we likely to see Canelo stay as a light heavyweight?
No, he's talking about coming down to 168, which is the super middleweight. And he's not going to go down to 160, which is the middleweight. So which means if Triple G wants to fight Canelo, Triple G will have to move up to 168. And that fight will be a fight that the fight fans want to see also. So that's going to happen. Expect Canelo to drop all the other titles, the middleweight title, the light heavyweight title, and hold on to the super middleweight title, because you cannot hold on to all the belts.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi later this week, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football, group matches kick off Wednesday in the qualifying campaign for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Let's take a look at the fixtures. In Group A, Namibia will host Chad and Windhoek. In Group B, Malawi is at home in Blantyre against South Sudan. And Burkina Faso will host Uganda in Ouagadougou. In Group C, Sudan will host Sao Tome and Principe in Omdurman. In Group D, Angola will go against visiting Gambia in Luanda. In Group E, Central African Republic is at home in Bangui against Burundi. In Group F, Cameroon will host Cape Verde in Yaounde. Now, the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon earned an automatic berth to the 2021 Nations Cup because they're hosting the tournament. However, they are still taking part in the qualifying competition. In Group I on Wednesday, Guinea-Bissau will host Eswatini, and Senegal is at home against Congo Brazzaville. Our VOA football fans will remember the Lions of Taranga from Senegal finished runners-up to the Desert Foxes of Algeria at this year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. And finally, in Group L on Wednesday, Sierra Leone will host Lesotho in Freetown, and Nigeria will host Benin in Uyo. In results Monday at the Africa Under-23 Cup of Nations tournament, Cameroon edged Mali 1-0, while host Egypt advanced to the semifinals with a 3-2 victory against Ghana. The Egyptians booked their ticket to the November 19th semifinals on goals by Mustafa Mohamed, Ramadan Sobi, and Ahmed Rayan. Ghana got on the scoreboard first behind a goal in the 6th minute by Yao Yeboah. Egypt equalized in the 17th minute on Mustafa's goal. Ghana took a 2-1 lead on a goal in the 46th minute by Samuel Obeng. But goals in the 82nd and 86th minutes by Sobi and Rayan delighted the partisan crowd at Cairo International Stadium. Meanwhile, at the same stadium, Cameroon edged Mali 1-0 on a 76th minute goal by Frank Evina. The top three teams at the Africa Under-23 Cup of Nations tournament will represent Africa at the 2020 Olympic Men's Football Tournament in Japan. Finally, in African club football, the draw was held Tuesday for the CAF Confederation Cup tournament. Let's quickly run down the four groups. Group A has Nouadhibou from Mauritania, Enugu Rangers from Nigeria, and two Egyptian clubs, Pyramids and Al Masry. Group B has Bidvest Wits of South Africa, El Nasser of Libya, Djoliba of Mali, and Horoya of Guinea. Group C has Renaissance Berkane from Morocco, Motema Pembe from the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zaniko from Zambia, and ESAE from Benin. Group D, San Pedro from Ivory Coast, Hassania Agadir from Morocco, Enyimba from Nigeria, and Paradou from Algeria. And that wraps up the November 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer this evening, the VOA's Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a slum in Uganda and a poor neighborhood in the United States have something in common: chess. We'll explore how one man uses chess to create social change on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
The solar system was anything but peaceful during and shortly after its formation 4.5 billion years ago. A new study from Rice University in Texas and China's Sun Yat-sen University suggests odd gravitational data gathered by NASA's Juno spacecraft may be explained by a massive head-on collision between a young Jupiter and a still-forming planet in the early solar system. The researchers say the Juno data indicates Jupiter's core is not as dense and is more extended than expected. The study suggests this massive collision could have mixed the dense contents of the core with less dense material in the layers that surrounded it. Study co-author Andrea Izella, an astronomer at Rice, says leading theories of planet formation indicate Jupiter began as a dense, rocky, or icy planet and later gathered its thick atmosphere from the primordial disk of gas and dust that gave birth to our sun. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.